This is RÚV English Radio with Darren Adam, daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.
Hello, this is RÚV English Radio. My name's Darren Adam. Thanks very much for your company today. It's a Thursday, so we will bring you an episode of Oithskilith in just a few moments' time, some more language learning from RÚV English Radio. But after that today, in a double episode, I'll be talking to the chair of Reykjavik Human Rights Council, that is Sabine Leskopf, about a new draft policy on the multicultural city that is Reykjavik from 2026 to 2030. And indeed, the city is looking for your feedback on that. The policy's been placed in the consultation portal of the city. More on that after today's episode of Oithskilith. Time for another episode of Oithskilith, the news in a simple form of Icelandic, and Bjarni's here once again.
Yeah, go on.
And of course, you can follow along with this story. We'll put a link up to the text on the page accompanying the show. Now, this, Bjarni, is a story from a couple of weeks ago, or approaching a couple of weeks ago, concerning a change in the law regarding how people with disabilities are treated.
Exactly,
and yes, there's been some positive changes there, as many people would undoubtedly see them. So we will start our text just under the image on the page that accompanies the show. You can find the text. We'll go through this all the way and then line by line. So take it away, Bjarni.
Já, takk fyrir. Það eru komin ný lög á Íslandi. Lögin eru réttindi fatlaðs fólks. Sveitarfélög hafa áhyggjur af lögunum. Sveitarfélög segja að lögin kosti mikinn pening. Alma Ýr Ingólfsdóttir formaður ÖBÍ. ÖBÍ eru samtök fatlaðs fólks. Alma mjög ánægð með nýju lögin. Alma segir: Nýju lögin hjálpa fötluðu fólki. Fatlað fólk getur farið til dómstóla. Það ef einhver brýtur á rétti fólksins. Sveitarfélög á höfuðborgarsvæðinu segja: Nýju lögin kosta okkur 14 milljarða króna. Alma segir: Það kostar peninga að veita þjónustu. En það kostar meira að veita ekki þjónustu. Sveitarfélög eiga nú þegar að veita þessa þjónustu. Páll Björgvin Guðmundsson framkvæmdastjóri SSH. SSH samtök sveitarfélaga á höfuðborgarsvæðinu. Páll segir að SSH styðji lögin. En SSH vildi vita hvað lögin myndu kosta. Páll segir: Við báðum að vita hvað lögin myndu kosta. En enginn sagði okkur það. Hvað kostar mest? Það húsnæði fyrir fatlað fólk. Páll segir: Margt fatlað fólk bíður eftir húsnæði. NPA samningar kosta líka peninga. NPA samningar notendastýrð persónuleg aðstoð. Páll ánægður með eitt. Ríkisstjórnin á að tala við sveitarfélögin. Þau eiga að vinna saman að þessum málum. Páll segir: Sveitarfélög vilja veita góða þjónustu. Þess vegna þurfa sveitarfélög að fá meiri peninga.
Okay, so back to the start and then through this line by line.
Það komin ný lög á Íslandi. We have a new law, or there are a new law in Iceland. Lögin réttindi fatlaðs fólks. The law are about the right of people with disabilities. And exactly, this is, they don't say it, but it's all based on the Convention of the Rights of Disabilities from the UN.
The UN Convention.
That finally now has been turned into a law, and therefore it's, what do they say, it's more, it has more weight,
yes,
in everything,
yes,
in the system, as now it is Icelandic law. Sveitarfélög hafa áhyggjur af lögunum. So the municipalities, the sveitarfélög, originally this word means kind of the fellowship in the countryside, you could say. It's the community, exactly, in the sveit, that means the countryside.
Mm.
But of course are also towns, and even Reykjavík is a sveitarfélag.
Yes.
Because it is then the local government in its area,
yes,
you could say. They are concerned about this law. Sveitarfélög segja að lögin kosti mikinn pening. And the communities say that the law will cost a lot of money. Also, it doesn't say here, but the thing is exactly how much is paid by the state itself and how much is paid by the local governments and how this is all linked together.
Mm.
And that, of course, is very new, or they have to find more ways to decide that now. Alma Ýr Ingólfsdóttir er formaður ÖBÍ. Mrs. Alma Ýr Ingólfsdóttir, she is the chairman or the president of ÖBÍ. Originally, that is Öryrkja Bandalag Íslands. So the community of disabled people in Iceland, but they more maybe use now just the short version, the ÖBÍ.
And it means the organization now.
The organization,
rather than
exactly.
The community or the
of disabilities, disabled people. Exactly like they say in next line, ÖBÍ eru samtök fatlas fólks. ÖBÍ is the organization of people with disabilities. Alma er mjög ánægð með nýju lögin. Alma is very happy or satisfied with the new law. Alma says, nýju lögin hjálpa fötluðu fólki. The new law will help people with disabilities. And let's note also, it's interesting, the word fólk, people, is in singular in Icelandic, even though we normally use it for a group. So that's the reason why we see the word fólk here in different cases,
yes,
all the time singular. And also then the adjective, like here we have fatlað, quite a lot, with disabilities, in singular form, even though we are speaking about the group of people. Yeah.
Because the group is singular.
Exactly, yes. Fatlað fólk getur farið til dómstóla. Disabled people can go to court. Það ef einhver brýtur á rétti fólksins. That is, if somebody does something on their part or something against their rights. Sveitarfélög á höfuborgarsvæðinu segja. So the municipalities in the capital area, they say, nýju lögin kosta okkur 14 miljardar króna. The new law will cost us, the increase in cost will be 1400 millions of krónur. Alma segir, það kostar peninga að veita þjónustu. Alma says, it costs money to offer or provide services. En það kostar meira að veita ekki þjónustu. But it costs more not to provide this service. Sveitarfélögin eiga nú þegar að veita þessa þjónustu. The municipalities should already offer those services. And that exactly is the change now. Now it has become a law, so it's more strict and it's more necessary, of course, to follow them.
So they have to find the money.
Exactly.
Even if it's hard to find the money.
Yes. And they mostly, it's the discussion between the state and the municipalities, because it's a division of cost that is at stake.
Yes.
First and foremost, because at the time, it's quite a long time since they decided that it was on the local governments to organize the services for disabled people, and then the state pays them to do so. But now, of course, this has to be reopened, and they are asking about how will that be done? Yeah. But this is newly happened, so we hope that will be solved quickly. Páll Björgvin Guðmundsson er framkvæmdastjóri SSH. Mr. Páll Björgvin Guðmundsson, he is the CEO or the director of SSH, and that's explained in next line. SSH eru samtök sveitarfélaga á höfuðborgarsvæðinu. SSH means then the organization of municipalities in the capital area. Because there are, how many are there? Seven, I think, in the capital area.
Ooh, so you've got Reykjavik.
Yes.
And then let's start at the top. So yeah. Mosso.
Yes.
Seltjarnarnes.
Yeah.
Kópavogur.
Yeah.
Garðabær.
Yeah.
Hafnarfjörður.
Yeah.
Am I missing one?
No, maybe the six then.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. So let's go the other way. Hafnarfjörður, Garðabær, Kópavogur. I think it's six,
six.
If you include Reykjavik.
Exactly. Yeah.
I think it's 5 + 1, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah,
and
yeah.
That, of course, is a very big organization because it's a huge part of the population that lives in those municipalities. So they are a big voice in all this. Páll segir að SSH styðji lögin. Páll says that the SSH organization supports the law. En SSH vildi vita hvað lögin myndu kosta, but they would want to know how much the new law would cost. Mm. Páll says, við báðum að vita hvað lögin myndu kosta. We asked to be known or be informed what the law would cost, en enginn sagði okkur það. But nobody told us that or about that. Hvað kostar mest? What costs the most? Það húsnæði fyrir fatlað fólk. That is then residence or housing for disabled people. Páll says, margt fatlað fólk býður eftir húsnæði. Many disabled people are waiting for housing. NPA samningar kosta líka peninga. And then what we call in Icelandic NPA agreements, they also cost money. And here we get explanation on that. NPA samningar eru notendastýrð persónuleg aðstoð. So the NPA agreement in Icelandic comes from notendastýrð persónuleg aðstoð. Sadly, I don't know the term, the English term, but it is then the individual decided help so that the person, disabled person, gets to decide him or herself what kind of service or aid he or she will get and has, you know, the control is in the person's hands.
Is it like a voucher scheme then? So they get...
Yes,
they get the resources and it's up to them to spend them.
Yes, and they can advertise, you know, I would like a personal assistant. I need this, I need that. And they get the fundings to decide it.
I see.
Yeah.
Okay.
They are not decided for, but they have the power in their own hands.
They can make the decisions as to how to spend those resources.
Exactly. Páll ánægður með eitt. Páll is happy about one thing. Ríkisstjórnin á að tala við sveitarfélögin. The government needs to talk to the municipalities. Þau eiga að vinna saman að þessum málum. They should work together in this category or in this issue. Páll says, sveitarfélög vilja veita góða þjónustu. The municipalities want to provide good service. Þess vegna þurfa sveitarfélög að fá meiri peninga. Therefore, the municipalities or local governments need to have more money.
And that is the consequence of the new law that is in Icelandic law now, of course, as you say, the convention from the UN on the rights of disabled people now brought into the law of Iceland and the consequences of that. Bjarni, thanks very much indeed. You can find the link to that text, of course, on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio and more Oithskilith next week. So that was today's episode of Oyðskjulið, the news in a simple form of Icelandic, if you're doing your best to pick up a few words in the language. The second part of our show today, not unrelated, I think it is fair to say, a draft policy on Reykjavik as a multicultural city for the next 4 years is now in the consultation portal of the City of Reykjavik website, and you can submit comments on that. I'm with today Sabine Leskopf, who's the chair of the Reykjavik Human Rights Council and can speak about this particular policy. Sabine, welcome to Roof English Radio.
Thanks for having me.
What are you trying to achieve then by having this in the consultation portal, and what kind of feedback are you looking for? Mm-hmm.
Let me try to start with what I did not try to do. I tried not to be too political, which is quite a challenge in these days and when you talk about immigrants. But I tried to focus on what the city is doing, on the concept that every person who lives here in Reykjavik, whether they are born in Iceland, whether they're born abroad, whether they are refugees or immigrants living in Iceland, they are citizens. And as citizens, they should have access to everything the city is doing and offering.
So this policy then sets about achieving that how?
I took a lot of conversation with people working in all the different departments, and I asked them, what do you know about how immigrants touch your kind of work in your department? Mm-hmm. And it turned out some departments are very well advanced, like take the school and leisures. They have a policy. And they are doing a lot of great things. I mean, you can always do more. We've just had, you know, a very intense debate on Icelandic teaching for children, for example. Mm-hmm. I mean, we always need to do better, but we're advanced there. And this department has a policy, and they have an action plan, and they're working on it. So for them, we're saying, okay, keep doing that. But we're suggesting new points of focus, like focusing more on parents of foreign origin, how they can participate in their children's world, school world, and then the environment. For other departments, it's maybe not as obvious. Take an department like the city planning.
Yeah.
On first sight, you would say, like, city planning has nothing to do with immigrants. They don't work, I mean, directly. But as soon as you start talking with those people and we discuss that, then we find out together, and that's what the policy is about, that we find out together, okay, there's probably not much that is more immigrant, concerning immigrants than city planning. I mean, where do immigrants live? What conditions do they live in? What kind of housing? Public transport? How do they use the public space? What access do they have? And all that. So all of a sudden we have this really great conversation about, yeah, how does that concern immigrants, the city planning? Yes. Do they participate in, you know, when you have a new project in the neighborhood and everybody has an opinion, do immigrants enter their opinion? And if not, what can we do to support them?
Because the steering group on this was set up, I think, in last year, wasn't it? In February of last year. So there's been nearly 2 years of work to get to this point, I think.
More than a year.
Mm-hmm. Your colleagues or those working here at the city, do you get the sense that they've learned through this process as well?
Absolutely. They for some, it was, I think, an eye-opener. And what we did with the policy, the setup, is that we make sure that this work continues. So we're giving them a framework. We're giving them, say, we have a very few basic values about inclusion and that everybody should have access and should participate and should enjoy the city. Then it is secured that every department submits once a year a report. Okay, this is what we are doing within the frame of this. This is how we reach inclusion for our staff, the users of our services, and so on. So that is making sure that this conversation continues.
Well, this conversation, as you heard, is the second part of our episode today. The first part was our regular feature, Oyðskjulið, about learning the Icelandic language. How important is the learning of Icelandic generally for those who come to the country, would you say?
It is very important, but it is a big challenge. And it is a different challenge for people who come now than for people who came, like me, 25 years ago. Back then, I always say there was a contract between me and the Icelandic society. That contract said, okay, you come here, you don't speak the language, you need to learn it, and then it gets better. Every day, the more you learn, it gets better. You find a better job, you make friends, you participate in everything that's going on here. This contract is not really valid anymore, because so many immigrants come here and they do not have the opportunity to learn Icelandic, to immerse in the language. So it's much more of a challenge now to learn Icelandic, to speak Icelandic, to find somebody to speak Icelandic to make it useful. So that is what has changed, and it's so important to be able to participate. We can do a lot through machine translation and everything, and people speak Icelandic, speak English, I mean. So it's possible to survive, but somehow you're still always on the sideline.
And it is disrespectful to all languages, I think, if you rely on machine translation too much. One example I remember, I saw an Icelandic news story translated. It was quite a minor story about someone who'd been fined for a traffic offence, and Google Translate suggested he had in fact been executed as a punishment. So there's a lot that can go wrong. And I know, and you probably know this too, there are lots and lots and lots of people who come to Iceland who really want to learn the language but find it difficult because they're working 12 hours a day, or they're working in an all-English environment or a non-Icelandic environment. Does any part of this feed into what we're talking about here? Does any part of this feed into those challenges?
Yes, absolutely. We're looking a lot towards what we're doing for our staff. We have about, I think, 1,500 employees that have a foreign background. We need to make sure they have access to Icelandic teaching that works for them during working hours, connected to their work. But you also make sure that it pays off for them.
Yes.
You need an incentive. So you need to know, okay, I'm learning Icelandic. That means I can advance in my job. I can do my job better. I can get a better job. I can rise. I can develop my career. And it means something to me. So both of these things are addressed there.
So this wider draft policy on Reykjavik as a multicultural city from 2026 to 2030, as I say, it's in the consultation portal of the city website. We'll put a link to that up. It is, if I sort of summarise this, it's about equipping the city to do the best that it can for those of multicultural backgrounds. What sort of response are you looking for when you seek consultation on this? Who do you want to hear from and why?
I would love to hear from people who think they might not have the same access to services that are beyond being an immigrant. This is about you just being a person, a citizen of Reykjavik. Mm. I mean, you might have a dog. You're not happy with the facilities that are offered for dog owners. You might be unhappy with the benches in the public park that you're using. You might be unhappy with the traffic lights in your street. And I want to make sure that people know that we want to cater for them as citizens of Reykjavik.
And just an important language point there. When we talk about citizens of Reykjavik, that word citizens, we're not necessarily talking about those of us who've acquired citizenship of the country and have an Icelandic passport. You are talking about citizens in the sense of those who live in and are part of Reykjavik, whether or not they're national citizens.
Exactly. When I talk about citizens, I mean citizens of this city, so inhabitants. Everybody who lives in this city is part of this society.
And it's a great city.
It is.
Do you expect to find that reflected in some of the consultation comments?
I hope so. I think most people who come here, they have a very positive view of Iceland, and they enjoy so much of Iceland. We always hear about the negative things, but I think many people enjoy this city, many people of foreign origin enjoy the city in a different way than Icelandic people do. Like just the way foreigners use public parks. Mm. There's a culture here that is not Icelandic, that foreigners use public parks much more to hold, to celebrate a children's birthday or Sunday outings with a picnic and stuff like that. I think that is something I want to stress, that we can enjoy this city in a lot of different ways, and I think people do.
And of course, Christmas, you're not very far away. Just after we finish our conversation today, I'll be talking to one of your colleagues who's responsible very largely responsible for making Reykjavik a Christmas city, and exciting plans there.
It is. It's so warm, it's so inviting, it's so enjoyable.
How long is the consultation open for?
Until the 9th of December.
Okay, so plenty of time. When you hear this on the Thursday afternoon, you've got about another 10 days or thereabouts to get your comments in. A link to that on the page accompanying the show from Roof English Radio. For now, Sabine, thank you very much.
Thank you.
This is Roof English Radio. My name's Darren Adam, and you can get in touch anytime. We are english@ruv.is.
There is more from RÚV English with all the news from Iceland in English at ruv.is/English. RÚV English Radio is daily English language radio from Iceland's national broadcaster, RÚV.